The Fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights.
Hockey Central is brought to you by Lexus on the Park at Leslie and Eglinton.
Put down that salad and man up your lunch hour with the best hockey coverage possible. You're listening to Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Olympic announcement coming up tomorrow. It's Hockey Central presented by Lexus on the Park on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network. We will be live on location at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Mountain, 7 a.m. Pacific, with a one-hour pre-announcement show. A lot of speculation. And then we'll find out exactly what happens, who's on the 25-man roster, and then Hockey Central at noon will seamlessly evolve out of tomorrow's announcement. At the MasterCard Center in Toronto, it's Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean. We'll also have a strong compliment here at Sportsnet as we get ready for Canada's team. And there's some last-minute decisions that have to be made, unforeseen decisions, like Roberto Luongo. He's going to have an MRI today. Got yes. Ran over by Dustin Brown. And will they name him to the team? We anticipated that he was one of the three goaltenders. But now, what do you do?
Well, you name him. And then if it's an injury situation, they can adjust that. So it's a, you know, what do they have to, what's the rule on that? They add another guy or they go with him and then they have till the end of January to change it.
So Stamkos would be no different.
Yes, both will
right,
go on.
Right before the Olympic Games start.
They can adjust.
You can do a switch.
Yeah. Really interesting decisions, you know, and I, you know, who knows where they're going to go. Every list you see, I'm having real problems with my 14th forward. I've got one of Giroux, Ben, or Lucic making the team on the forward position. The rest I feel reasonably comfortable with, but one of those three I've got, and I don't have a clue. Giroux, everybody loves Giroux's talent. Everybody likes what Ben has done. Lucic, I just think he's such a horse, but talked to a couple of scouts yesterday. They got Ben a little ahead of Lucic because of his playmaking ability, and defensively he's a little sounder. Lucic is that big physical horse, and Giroux is so talented. So I feel comfortable with the rest of my four names, but those, I'm having real problems with that one name.
We'll bring in the star of Coach's Corner, Don Cherry, in a couple of minutes, get his thoughts on Canada's pending Olympic announcement and the Toronto Maple Leafs, who got drilled by the New York Rangers 7-2. There's a lot going on around the hockey world. The World Juniors failed to medal for a second straight year, first time in the Program of Excellence era.
Really, go ahead, Nick.
We're going to have a summit again?
No. No, we're not.
I watch that team.
You joke about that, but if the men don't come through in Sochi and the women don't pull off another gold medal performance.
All I've noticed the last couple of years, and I haven't, no, it's not like I've watched this program, you know, through a magnifying glass or anything, but what you watch out there is a bunch of guys wearing the Canadian jersey that to me have so much weight on their shoulders. They've even forgot how to have fun playing the game. And I don't know whether it starts from Hockey Canada or it goes back to Brent Sutter. And I don't know too many players that have had a lot of fun with him behind the bench. But to me, the passion to play the game and have fun, first and foremost, has to shine. And I didn't see it at all.
Brent's won two gold medals before this year.
8-9 years ago. And I get that. And I think one of them came off the lockout where he had everybody there. Everybody who was eligible was there. Okay? But I watch that team, and I see no passion, no fun. And I'll tell you another thing about Brent Sutter.
What's wrong with your face?
I didn't like his comments, okay? Not one iota did I like his comments after the tournament when he said that basically we had them ready. They just didn't execute.
He also made a comment that grassroots, we're failing at the grassroots.
Like, you know what, I did a great job. They didn't follow my instruction. What was that?
I was watching the games, and I
liked it.
I agree.
You okay with
them.
That?
I agreed with him totally on the grassroots.
No, I'm talking about his comments about saying that I did a good job.
You're paraphrasing, though.
I didn't hear him say that. But anyway.
You're paraphrasing.
I guess what surprised me about the team.
Paraphrasing, but that's the extent of his comment. I just didn't like it. I didn't like it. You win together, you lose together.
You know, I look at this group and you say, how can they not score? How can they not score in the power play? And how? I mean, look, power plays, there's one thing about not scoring in a power play, but when you don't really get quality chances, I think that's what really jumped out at me. How can this group of talented kids not be able to create more offense? That's what sort of jumped out at me. You know, I'm not going to throw the coaches under the bus, or I'm not going to throw the players. I agree with Kippy. There's a ton of pressure on these kids, and this tournament's been made out because of the whole TV presence as the biggest thing since sliced bread. No, it's the big, but not any. I'm not blaming anybody, but it's been made out to be the biggest thing. And those kids are going over there with a ton of pressure. How is the pressure going to be in Toronto, Montreal next year if that's in Malmo? So, you know what? Grassroots, they can talk all they want about grassroots. I mean, there's great teaching going on in hockey. Some people
do think it has to be tweaked?
Well, I think you've got to continually tweak it. But to start going on and on about grassroots hockey, there's some great teaching going on in hockey. There's some great coaching going on in youth hockey.
I have friends who have 8 and 9 year olds playing hockey, and these coaches have systems and.
I agree.
Left wing lock and.
I don't disagree with that.
Don't send anybody in deep to forecheck there.
I agree that the number one thing has got to be skill. And I've always. And look, I'm the worst for talking about systems because it really. The system talk. In every level pisses me off because I was behind the bench and on the ice in practice, and I know how overrated it is. When I hear, and I watch 24/7, and I'm saying, just a minute, is that the talk that goes on between periods in NHL dressing rooms? I mean, and these are the technical geniuses of our game. Are you kidding me? So it's all a bunch of BS, and guys are doing too much of it. Way too much of systematic play for young kids. I agree with that 100%. But they also do a good job there in teaching skills. They, for the most part. Do you not agree that they do?
Listen.
And I don't think you can be perfect.
You can take 5 of the top clubs, right? Or the countries. Canada, U.S., Swiss, or Sweden, Russia, Finland now. And you can put them in a round robin. And it's anybody can win at any time.
It's
right? Anybody can win at any time.
But Canada's always in the top three. And this is back-to-back years where they aren't.
Yeah. It's devastating to the group.
Here's the other thing, too, is if you look back at those consecutive gold medals, the top goalie was always on Canada. We don't have the guy now that shuts the door.
And you know, the big...
We can have one game where he plays well, but to go through the whole tournament, you need to have the top goalie.
And I get a kid, now Fucali, who... I mean, look, he gave them a chance to win. I know it was a bad goal, but he gave them a chance to win. And look, when you only score one goal, how do you blame your goaltender? Give me a break. You're not blaming. I had LeClaire over there who stood on his head and got blamed. I had Marc Denis over there who won a gold medal. I had Mason over there who won a gold medal. I mean, and they tried everything they could to blame them, you know?
You had the Jimmy Waits. You had the Trevor Kidd.
Legacy, right? Was one of the best. And
Manny Legacy. Manny Legacy was up against Forsberg, was he not?
Yeah.
It's been a while since Canada's had the best goalie in the tournament, but this year, goaltending wasn't the cause.
You know what? I watched Pascal Leclerc make 50-some saves in a game over there, and he still got blamed, you know? I mean, it's good. But Max Domi, okay, that's the hot-button topic, and you're sitting there watching Drouin out there, and I love the Patan kid from Portland. He's a heck of a player.
But Patan, we covered the Memorial Cup. Between Domi and Patan, was it close?
And I'm sitting there saying, so what happened? Why to have a Domi Drouin on the power play? I mean, I'm sorry. And I don't follow junior hockey, and I may be way out of line saying this, but I'm sorry. I'm missing something.
The other thing was we
can't
discussed...
score a power play goal in three games.
Well, that's my point.
We discussed so much about this Olympic team. And taking tandems and players that are familiar with each other. So Horvat, Domi.
And I kept thinking that every time I heard Horvat's name yesterday. Mm-hmm. You're right. So, I mean, look, I'm not... Like, they have to make their evaluations. and they have to put who's on the team. But I feel bad. And I you know what? I think Brent Sutter's a real good coach. I think he's a real good coach.
I just didn't like his comments. That's
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Toronto Maple Leafs run out of the rink by the New York Rangers on Saturday night. And then Randy Carlyle comes back with a conditioning skate yesterday. Was that just let down from the
hangover,
intensity of,
the outdoor
of a
hangover.
Month? Well, but a month of being under that spot.
Probably.
No, it's not.
Probably
no,
a part of it.
No, it's not. It's giving up 40 and 50 shots a goal on a nightly basis.
But you still, they were worse than they've typically been against a team that's not very good. That so to me, there's is there not a bit of an emotional letdown after what they went through? I'm serious. We were there. We were in we lived a little bit. I watched the 24/7 last night. I'm thinking, oh my God, they must be glad this is over. Mm-hmm. You know, the scrutiny of in your car driving to practice, and you know, badminton tournaments, and I mean,
ping pong,
whatever, ping pong, badminton, they're all the same to me.
I see a team that gives up quality scoring chances, and if their goalie isn't the first star, then they're in big trouble.
The second goal wasn't a real quality scoring chance.
You can't.
Who's number one now?
You can't.
Who does he come back with now? Who starts the next game?
Milsey tweets in to at Darren Millard, not the Milsey that we know, Greg Millen. Do you think the 14-year-old Russian gymnasts don't have pressure? Are they having any fun? Don't know, but they always win.
No, they don't always win.
They don't have fun either.
They don't always win.
No, there's not a lot of fun around
there.
Look over your shoulders, the Toronto Maple Leafs. There's the Ottawa Senators.
Wow.
And Tim Murray, the assistant general manager in Ottawa, is in the news right now.
Yeah.
How close is he to getting the Buffalo Sabres general manager job?
I'm being told this morning that he's the guy. That he is the guy that's going to be now, you know, take it for what it is. I'm not an insider like you guys.
You.
But I'm being told Tim Murray's going to be the GM in Buffalo. And that's...
why hasn't been announced then?
I don't know why it hasn't been announced. Somebody said that maybe he can't get there because of flights. Weather. But... I hear he's the guy, so it'll be interesting to see if, in fact,
was
it does happen. He was at the World Junior, okay. and I think the situation is there's a real connection. Tim Murray worked for Don Maloney when Don was the
Rangers
assistant GM with the Rangers. Tim was his chief scout. They had good drafts in Stahl and a few people in those days. Tim and him have a relationship. LaFontaine and Maloney have a strong relationship. Jim Benning was in the mix. And, I mean, again, I'm just telling you, as they say in PEI, I'm not telling you it's the truth. I'm just telling you what I've been told.
What you've been hearing. We're not
so
telling
we'll
you.
We'll see. I hope Tim gets, I mean, I really like Jim Benning, and I hope Tim Murray gets the job.
And the strength of Tim is the scouting, and
yep.
and that's the direction that the Buffalo yep. Sabres want to go.
Yep.
Does he want to go to Buffalo? Ottawa's turning around.
Yes, he wants to go to Buffalo, I'm sure. Why wouldn't he?
There's
only 30 jobs.
Yeah,
you're right. So let's.
But Ottawa's knocking on the door now. Looks like they finally got it clicking.
And let's keep. I mean, I'm just telling you. That's what I've been told. Okay.
Yeah. So this isn't a Winnipeg Phoenix.
It might be. It might be
situation where you got where you say. Kip, you said it first.
It might be. You didn't see me tweet it.
He's really good at that, isn't he?
You've had a tweet in a year. A
couple of retweets. I've had a couple of retweets congratulating little young bloggers and PEI and stuff like that. That's what I tweet now.
Good for you. Good for you.
A 12-year-old blogger I did
okay,
this.
Okay, so whose story is this? Is it yours or is it Kipper's?
I'm giving it to Kip.
No, I'm...
If it turns out to be the truth,
listen,
it's my story.
There's one guy that has a contract, and there's one guy that needs a contract.
Who's that?
You.
No, I don't need a contract.
Oh, yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you're
a no,
free
I don't
agent.
Need one. I know, but I don't need a contract.
And about 6 months ago...
They can pay me week to week.
6 months ago, he's saying I was going to go to the CBC and shop his...
They could pay me week to week if they want. If they want to go week... I don't need a contract. Let's go week to week.
No. We want you on a long-term deal.
Week to week's fine with me.
What makes Timmy Murray the guy over Benning, over Botterill?
There could be a number of things, but Fenton. today more than ever, too, you have to sell a bit of an image to your public, and Tim Murray probably comes around as a guy that is at times can be in your face.
a guy that's not scared to tell you if he doesn't like what he's seeing or hearing, he's going to go tell you to go jump in a lake. And
he's done that on occasion with this show.
I think there has to be.
Not coming on and saying it.
No, they send us notes.
But you know, I don't know whether or not, you know, from what I've understood, that Jim Benning's probably that personality that can be that guy a little bit. And I think there's something to be said to that guy.
Here's what my side. Timmy Murray's the complete opposite to Darcy Regier. Complete opposite, personality-wise. Like, if you can go 180 on personalities, that's what it is.
Jim Benning? Tell us what Tim Murray's personality is.
In your face.
He's a vocal type of guy who gives his opinion. I remember Tim was with me. He was a part-time scout when I was coaching Florida. And he was, at that time, just learning, getting into the scouting business. But he had strong opinions. And he had a good feel for players. And, you know, he's done a good job with drafting. And he's strong on his opinions, and he comes across. Now, he'll have to adjust when he has to stand in front of the media. Let's forget, he has not ever had to deal with the media front and center with the media. So
that
that'll
be where
challenge.
Pat LaFontaine comes in handy. Right.
That'll be a big help. And Jim Benning is a much lower key guy, very low key, quality guy. And a real good hockey person. I think personalities may have put him over. I think Timmy's personality may have put him over the top because they wanted that type of personality versus. And I happen to like Darcy Regier, but versus a Darcy Regier personality.
Switch focus here is on Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park and the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks, along with Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, and Doug McLean. It's Don in Mississauga. How are you, Don?
I'm doing good.
Hey,
I'm with Nick. It seems I agree with Nick all the time. I can't believe Sutter said those things. I did good coaching, but the Pee Wee guys are wrong. I mean, that is bad news. I never expected that of a Sutter. I really didn't. Well,
where did we see this? Where
can
did you see
the,
this?
Can you get the quote for Doug?
Because I didn't see that in the post-game conversation. Did this come up some since then or when?
And all you have to do is read what he said. He says the Pee Wee kids, there's grassroots and all that. They're not teaching them and all that. All you have to do is read through what he said. I mean,
the players aren't arriving at the major junior level with enough skill.
Yeah, that's right. Now, let me get this right. The top 10 scorers in the National Hockey League are Canadian, and Kane's the other one. So the peewees must be doing something wrong. I put all the blame as I did. And listen, folks, I called it before they were going to. I said they were going to lose 2 weeks before because I was with the scouts talking. I said, they don't have a chance. They don't have a chance. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. They get two goals in the medal round. They're 0-5 on the against the Russians in the power play. We have the leading scorer in the OHL. 76 points in 40 games, Connor Brown.
Yep.
And he's magic with McDavid on the power play. He's home watching. Max Domi, who is almost averaging 2 points a game, him and Hobart on the power play are magic. We have Darnell Nurse, almost made Edmonton, which he will next year. The only guy that's drafted higher in the NHL was Reinhart.
So why aren't they on the team?
I tell you, it's Hockey Canada. And I'm telling you, it's political. Don't you get it? I said it Saturday night. Take a look at it. It's almost bing, bing, bing. And I say, listen, if Quebec has 20 players that are the best, take the 20 power, take 20 guys from Quebec. Well, you won't, but that's the way it is.
We have had
it's political.
We have had years, though, Don, where Quebec's had one player and the West has dominated.
I'm talking about this year. And I can't keep going back in years and everything like that. I'm telling you, it's political, and somebody better get straightened out. How they could have these three guys. That's just three guys in the OHL that I'm talking about. But I called it before they would not win, and there's not a, there's a, they didn't have a chance. And I agree with Nick. They don't seem to be having any fun, and they got the pressure of the world. Well, there's no flow, and I can't believe it that he would say that.
Is there anything to the fact that maybe these other teams are pretty good?
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, totally.
Take a look at the Swedes. I don't know how they lost the Finns. Absolutely, they're good. You ever hear me knocking them playing? I guess not.
But maybe that's what it is as much as the two or three selections you're talking about.
Well, what I'm talking about...
I mean, it's easy to pick out two or three selections, Dom. There's a lot more trouble with this team than a couple of players, right?
I said three. What do you want me to do? Go down the list? I could go down more, too, that should have been there. But what I'm saying is I don't like the way it was picked. They don't seem to be having any fun. And that's the way I feel about it. And if the Pee Wees are so bad, how come we're doing so well in the National Hockey League?
They had a lot of fun after the USA game.
Pardon me?
They had a lot of fun after the USA game.
What are you talking about?
When they beat the USA, they look to me like they're having a ball.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, after they win a game. I'm telling you, during the games, they seem not to be... They've got all the pressure in the world on them. You know, Nick, I kind of put it down to us, and I hate to say this, to the prospect game. Nick and I go in there, and Brian Tilray, and you know, and they see us, because it can't be, because I always lose every one of those games. But anyhow, and I think we put a little too much pressure on them. And then Bobby and the other guys, just go out and have some fun. Anyhow, that's my opinion. I'm not one of those guys that start talking after. I talk before. And I told them before they didn't have a chance, and that's what I said. I will go along. I don't like the idea. I can go to these practices in the minor leagues, and I can say, watch, I'll tell you about this. Dump the puck into the goaltender. The goaltender puts it down to the defenseman. The defenseman will put it up to the winger. The winger will put it up to the centerman. They'll go over to the other wing. And I hear the guys, move the puck, move the puck, move the puck. Nobody handles the puck. Like, I'm going along with you. There's going to be we should have a lot of different ways, and this is my opinion. I'm out with the kids all the time. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm out and watching them all the time, and I see them. We lost, and I'm a Canadian, and I'm maybe to the extreme, and I'm ticked off. That's my opinion, and I'm out all the time. So I what more could I say? You ask me my opinion, that's my opinion.
Have you done your roster for the big club that will be announced tomorrow?
Yeah. I know a couple of guys that won't be on it, should be on it. I think that Thornton should be on it. He leads the league in assists. You got all these sweethearts on the wings and everything that can score. I know they won't pick him. I think Sagan should be on there. And I know everybody's going to say, oh, well, he's doing a Bieska again. But I just love Bieska the way he kills penalties and that. We're going to have to kill a lot of penalties. But I agree with everybody else. I like Kuna, Sharp, and... I don't like Giroux. I don't know why he's on there. He's having a little year. I think Bergeron, I would like to put him on the wing and have him for all the face-offs.
Grapes, if we don't know about Stamkos' status, would you not have a guy like James Neal ready to step in? To me, James Neal is one of the hottest scorers, and if he's not hurt, he's right up there with Stamkos the last few years.
Well, yeah, somehow we always overlook him all the time. Ben, too. There's so many guys we could put on. But, I agree. And the defense, you know, isn't it funny how Bowmister all of a sudden is now he's on Team Canada a couple of years ago. And every hockey night in Canada I'd put him. I still like this guy. I know he's minus. As soon as he gets with Peter Angelo, and now he's on Team Canada. 100. My goaltenders, I will go along with Price, Lalongo, and Smith. Longo's going to be okay. Twisted his knee, went over top of him, but he'll be back, and he'd be the guy I'd start.
Don, when you look at Crosby, Taves, Getzlaf, Bergeron, Tavares down the middle, where do you see a guy like Sagan fitting in on the wing?
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'd have him on the wing. Yeah, I love him at center, but he's pretty good on the wing. He got 30 goals for Boston on the wing, so he's pretty good there. And you got to have a guy that can fly, and he can fly. But the guy that I say won't make it is Thornton. And all you have to do is look at his 38 assists. I mean, nobody's close. Can you imagine him feeding guys? And I know guys are going to say he can't skate, but he seems to get the job done for those guys.
I keep hearing Vlasic and Hamhuis making it on the back end. Vlasic apparently looks like he's in there. Are you on board with that?
No, I'm not on board. You guys think I'm nuts with Bieska and in love with him, but he plays the game the way I love it, the way the game should be played. And you got to kill penalties. I mean, you're going to put him on the power play.
Grapes. How much emphasis is on who can play the right side or the left side, who shoots right and left? Is there a danger of having too many right-handed shots?
Yeah, isn't that funny? Too many right-handed, that's unbelievable, because a few years ago...
Can't find them.
You couldn't find them. You'd take guys that you had less talent because he was a right-hand shot. Yeah, you got to be careful. You don't put guys on the wrong side. It's like, enough. I don't think he can play that right side and they got him over there. So you have to be careful. And when I had the Boston Bruins, I always had my defense pairs together. They never played left or right wing. They always, if the guy was the left, he played the left the whole season. I really think that's more important than the lines being together.
Don, if you come down to one choice for the last forward position and the names are Ben, Lucic, or Giroux, which of the three would you pick?
Well, it'd be between, let's see. You know what? I know everybody going to say he can't skate. He can't do that, but he seems to get the job done. And I know in the Olympics you can't hit, you can't get fight, but I'll tell you one thing. Just having him out there going up and down the wing, you got to be. So I'd take Milan over the other guys, although I like the other guys. Don't get me wrong. But he would. If I was playing defense and he was coming around, I'd have my head up. We'd see who's out there.
Gillis is upset right now about Dustin Brown running Roberto Luongo, saying that he didn't need to go flying in there. And then last night, I don't know whether you caught the Anaheim game where Eddie Lack got plowed over, and they almost had to put that 43-year-old guy who's on the professional tryout agreement in. Do you think the goaltenders are vulnerable right now or need to be protected?
Absolutely. You can't do anything to them. In the old days, Doug could remember, or Nick could remember, too.
Nick was one of those guys running them.
If you ever touched one of the goaltenders, it was murder. The game wouldn't even. If they ever touched Jerry Cheever, then I'm just going back, or Jilly Gilbert, something like that, a guy wouldn't finish the game. And, I like Brown. He's a little nuts and everything. But, he come flying right across there, and he knew what he was doing. And to see Luongo, it is not fair what they do to the goaltenders now. It really isn't. And the guys are getting hurt, but you can't do anything about it. What are you going to do? You'll get thrown out of the game. You'll get an extra penalty. But, when I see Luongo get run like that, and it really does bother me the way they treat the goaltenders now. But what are you going to do? Lack of respect, it's all over.
Grapes. Just staying on the subject of goaltending, regardless if it's Carey Price or Luongo, for the first time, Canada goes into a tournament and it's an unsettled situation. There's no Brodeur anymore. Talk about the pressure that would be on any one of these guys.
And are you nervous about the goaltending?
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not jumping for joy like we had Brodeur. We'd walk in and it's like you guys said in the juniors, we always had the best junior guy. But and you know what I think of Price? I had him in the prospect game and everything. But I think you got to go with Luongo because he's been there before and he's been playing good, pretty good. So I he's my type. He's the guy I would go with, and he's been there before. And everybody says he under pressure he took Vancouver to the seventh game. Is okay with me.
Grapes, we've got Duchesne on our team. You've been a hot guy pushing Duchesne for a while. And the other hot button tomorrow or this week is going to be Duchesne for me, especially if Stamkos is out. I think he's got to be on the team no matter what. I think he should be on it. And Subban.
Well, I don't understand Subban not being on the team. I know the one thing that bothers me, if it's Subban, he can hammer that thing from the point, he can carry the puck. I know what they're thinking about. He might be running around and banging, get out of position. But I don't know how you keep the Norris Trophy guy off. And Duchesne is to me is the fastest guy in the league. I don't think there's a guy when he has the puck is any faster. So I go along with you, Duchesne. Giroux, he's had a half a year as far as I'm concerned, and I don't think he belongs on the club.
Don Cherry's with us on Hockey Central at noon, the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks, presented by Lexus on the Park with Darren Millard, Nick Kyprios, and Doug McLean. How many 8 a.m. practices did you call when you were coaching in the National Hockey League?
It's a funny thing. I'm going to brag now, I guess, and I think I'm with Boudreaux out west. The guys could hardly wait to come to practice. We had them short, an hour and 10, hour and 15 minutes. Nick would have liked that one. And they worked hard. They were hard, but they knew and they didn't pace themselves. 8 a.m., I never called an 8 a.m. practice.
Dallas Eakins did that today.
I've done them where I've been punished at 8 a.m. That's a punished job.
Well, it's funny. They won last night.
The Oilers win last night in a big win against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who have been lights out against the Western Conference. And Dallas has his team on the ice at 8 a.m.
And we'll have another one later on in the week, correct?
Why?
I don't know why, but it looks good in TV. Looks good. Look at that man making them get out up at 8 a.m.
Seriously.
And stuff like that. That man is really, he looks good. It's the old story again. When you punish the players, the general managers see it, and the owners see it, and he can't do anything more than that. 8 a.m. to me, I mean, if you got the right guys, you don't need to get them up at that early and get them out. If you got the right guys, I mean, you got a bunch of jerks, okay, but if you got the right guys, I would never punish the Bruins like that, never, ever. And as I say, you got to have – I'd bet you Bruce Boudreau would never – you phone him, he would never do that either. And I don't know, it just makes the coach look good when you get him up at AM. Everybody thinks he's doing the job. That's my opinion.
What's he saying is the rationale behind doing it after they won?
People, we got to get up like everybody else and go to work at 8 a.m.
Oh, that's such BS.
You know, come on.
Most people don't work till midnight either.
They're working at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
You know, the other guys are getting up at 8 because they're working at 5. No, I don't call that stuff. I really don't. I really, you think the players buy into that? It's a hot dog move as far as I'm concerned, and I just don't agree with it.
And he's not Grapes. He's not the first guy to do this. See this every 2 years where it's, you know, one of these coaches say, I'm going to make them show what it's like to be a real worker. We've heard it every couple of years we get it.
Yeah, it's a hot dog move. Makes them look good. I saw one time in the American League, guy make them practice after the game, you know, with the equipment. I mean, you know, and the owner said, he's working hard. No, a hot dog move, as far as I'm concerned.
It hurts to tie your skates early in the morning, too.
I don't want to...
You got a hangover. You know,
I just call it waking up now.
I don't want it to appear like I'm beating up on Dallas because I've disagreed with a few things that he said over the course of the year. But in general, you can speak of this. Of course, Mac can speak of it as well. But is this just a young coach overthinking here, and is it as complicated as Dallas or some young coaches in general make it when you're dealing with coaching in the NHL and dealing with young players?
It's the when you get the players going for you and they'll go through a wall for you, then you've got it going like they do. And I keep bringing up Boudreau. They'll go through a wall. I listen, watch the game, and I hear them. They say, we can hardly wait to get to practice. We have such fun. They go through a wall for that, Boudreau, and that's the way my players were. Even when I was in Colorado and we were absolutely terrible, Lanny McDonald put in his book, Grapes put fun back in the game, because if you have fun and you like your coach, you're going to win eventually. And getting them up at 6:30 in the morning does not. If you want to punish them, I've been punished. I remember Joe Crozier, punch him like when he was. We've been punished, but it didn't do any good. All we did was resent it more. We went out and drank some more beer.
It sounds like this was part of a schedule because they did win last night and to get them back on the ice. And they've got St. Louis.
Cancel it then. If it's part of it, cancel it and put it at 11.
Schedule, do you, like, where's the scheduling come from that you want an 8 a.m. practice? Why wouldn't you have done that in September, October then?
St. Louis and Pittsburgh are next on their schedule.
These last 38 games are real important for Edmonton. Because they're going to pick first or second.
Did you see the finish last night, Anaheim and Vancouver? You talk about guys going through the wall.
Well, that's what I'm saying is when you do stuff like that, and I see Luongo out, that lock goes in. What a hockey game. I mean, I'll tell you something, that Western Conference, I mean, or Western, whatever you call it.
Pacific Division.
It's like turning on a different league. So, holy smoke, do they hit
Grapes
or what?
The big thing with Bruce Boudreau is he's had unbelievable success. Is this team finally a team for Bruce that's going to get over the hump? They look like a playoff team, don't they?
Oh, they're big and tough, and I sure hope so, because somehow they always blame it on him, but
right.
I wouldn't blame it on him. Boy, they look when they get going. That Getzlaff, what a year he's having. And Perry, he's another guy they say that's not intense. It's just the way he plays, like Mihaljevic. Remember?
What a luxury to have those guys on in the last minute.
Yeah, but what about this, Grapes, with 2.5 seconds left in the game last night? The Santorelli kid almost scored the winner, and the Hiller made an unbelievable save with 2 seconds left. Eh? That and Bruce, I don't think Bruce has ever really had that.
No, he'd be like he did have, you know, he had Ovechkin and all that stuff and everything, but it looks like he's finally got it. It looks like a minor league team. I shouldn't say talent-wise, but it looks like they do things like Hershey would do. And you see him behind the bench, boy. He's calm and he looks good and the whole deal. And he never hollers at the players or anything. I mean, I just can't say enough for him.
And he doesn't brag about his systems.
No,
that's what I like.
He doesn't even say he has a system. The thing is, they love him. They go through a wall for him, and he's got a good goalie. That's the main thing you got to do in life in hockey.
Hey, you weren't mad at all writers on Saturday night, were you? You were just mad at the one when you're talking about the Brian Burke and the USA Hockey announcement.
Well, yeah, I mean, not them all. I mean, come on, don't tell me that Burke didn't really think that he wouldn't put something in the paper. He's not stupid, Burke. He said that he didn't want that to get out, and he was on the assumption that it wouldn't get out. So
but USA Hockey and Brian have to take some responsibility for that. If you say it and it's on the record and you've got an embedded reporter.
Why would they let him in there and not have stipulations? That's the question.
Yeah, well, I think they did. I really do. Because Burke's not stupid, and he wouldn't say that. He never dreamed that would get out. And, you know, and then Bobby Ryan, that poor kid's had more tough luck in his life than get kicked like that. But, hey, you know, that's
I wasn't very happy with Scott Burnside on Friday, but I didn't call him a name.
Oh, no? Why not?
but Grapes, in fairness here, if they we're being told that they did not put stipulations on in U.S. hockey, and there was that he was not told that he couldn't write things. So how do you blame him when he wasn't told you can't put this in?
You know, I don't know. You think that Brian Burke would say that if
no.
he thought it would get out?
Not a chance.
No, he wouldn't. So I'm on the assumption that he thought it wouldn't get out. And that guy is not stupid. That guy is not stupid. That he knew when he put that in the paper that Burke was going to get in trouble. Don't tell me he didn't realize.
He knew that.
You're writing this.
He knew that.
But Burke is going to die.
There's a lot of people in the media that kind of believe that they know where that line is crossed.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
all.
I don't think many reporters.
Like Kevin Allen didn't write it. He was sitting in there too,
and he had all of that.
Yes, sir. And he didn't write it.
And he
looks like he got scooped.
Yeah, I was going to say, and there's a lot of people that now think that he looks bad because of that.
The other thing too is, like, let's face it. You know, Grapes, I'm sure that you've, again, from you and Mac's perspective, that you've had meetings where you could. And sometimes you're sarcastic, sometimes there is humor in it, but you could rip every player on your roster, everyone. You could find a fault on something somewhere. And I'm sure at some point through those meetings, every single guy got ripped on, one way or the other.
Sure.
I just don't know how you can pick one or two guys, right?
Well, they were the guys, they took the guys that got cut.
You know,
that's what they did.
Here's a guy
you shouldn't just isolate.
But that's what
I
it was.
I don't know why he did it. First of all, he shouldn't have said it. If you look at his record, he's got a great record. He's plus nine. He's got going to get 25, 30 goals. I mean, the guy is a good hockey player. How could you ever leave? I think he's the third highest scorer in the American forwards. I mean, why would he ever say anything like that in the first place? I don't even understand.
Why was he not on the team is the bigger question.
That's crazy. What I mean.
We're on the air tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., so join us.
Grapes, Nash.
Tune in.
You got Nash on the team, right, Grapes? Grapes.
I got Nash, but I just, you know, I got him, but I'm just hoping.
Yeah.
Have you watched him Saturday night? I mean,
he may be the only guy that gets away with not having a good year, but you have to still put him on.
You put him with Crosby, Taves, or Getzlaff? Come on.
Well, that's the one exception.
I've been watching him all year.
I know.
I've been watching him all year. I know he got hit in the head. I know the whole deal. But the way he is playing, I mean, you're right. He's the only guy that's going to get on there because he's Nash. Yeah. But I'll tell you one thing: if he doesn't pick it up, this is it for me for him. But because I know he's a superstar and all that, but let's prove it for once in a while before the Olympics.
I'm trying to be a lot more consistent promoting Grapevine.
I hope so. I listen all the time. I never hear it. I got to promote myself.
I'm working on it, bud.
So you're coming here next year with us, Grapes? You're going to be on.
I'm going to be dressed up, and I'm so glad you aren't slurping on things now. Whoever told you to stop is great.
And you're gonna come over and work this show with us with Rogers next year?
Oh yeah, Yeah, I'm with you guys
now.
Eh?
Great. Yeah, congratulations. You've come up from the minors, Grapes.
Yeah, you guys, it's just, I better keep quiet.
You told me a couple, you nailed me a couple years ago. Hey, McLean, you're up from the minors.
Yeah, listen, hey, you guys made the NHL. It's all right.
I've already been up to the big leagues at Hockey Night in Canada.
Thanks, Don.
Your neck was there. Yeah. You got a thrill out of it. It was great,
eh? It was awesome. These guys are still waiting for the call.
I called Ron McLean anyway. He might as well come here.
Thanks, Grapes. See you, bud. See you later. There's Don Cherry from Mississauga. And today he's going to talk about the World Junior Championship, Canada's disappointing performance.
So he made the announcement, essentially, eh?
We got to take a break. We'll come back with our thoughts on the 25-man roster, which will probably be a 4 seconds worth based on the length of time that we've gone over here. It's Hockey Central, presented by Lexus on the Park and the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more Hockey Central at noon on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
From the longest to the shortest segment in Hockey Central history, Darren Millard, Nick Kiprios, Doug McLean. Congratulations to Doug on signing or agreeing to terms with Don Cherry, I guess. Scott Moore was just in here and
congratulated me.
Exactly.
Grape sounded eager to work
with Rogers.
Moore is finally finding out that he can use me in more effective ways here. You know, like help him with contracts, help him secure some talent. I mean, he's finally getting it.
And Scott Moore goes, finally. Finally.
And then I say, I'll just go on a week-to-week deal, which is fine with me.
Christmas visas coming up. Remember that.
Oh, no, American Express, and it is not, Express. And it's not fun, I hear.
Who do you think will be the most talked about omission tomorrow? Because that's basically what it comes down to. We are on the air, 10 a.m. Eastern time. Wow. Hockey Central special.
I don't think it'll be PK. I think that they'll be smart enough to say, if he doesn't start, at least he's within an arm's length away from going into game two or game three.
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot. Like, I mean, I've got like Doughty, Weber, Keith, Bomeister, Petrangelo, Subban on the team. I mean, I've got Boyle there. You've got Seabrook. You've got Vlasic. I mean, I'm telling you, where they got blown away was they had Mark Stahl on this team. And Mark Stahl's injury has really affected them. And now it's sort of, they've got Hamhuis, Vlasic. I don't have Hamhuis, Vlasic ahead of PK Subban. I'm sorry. I do not have them there. But Vlasic may make the team. Hamhuis may make it. But like to me, Seabrook and Keith have played so well. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason,
have Seabrook, right?
I have Seabrook on the team with Keith. Okay. I do.
And I see Seabrook off more teams than I see him on.
I know. I've got him on there. And I asked Scotty Bowman about that at the Winter Classic, and he said, Doug, it's a no-brainer the way these two guys play together and play well, like Petrangelo and Bomeister have been terrific. And Weber, Doughty. So Boyle, somebody said to me about Boyle the other day that they were worried about him at the start of the year, but he's really played exceptionally well. He's a power play guy. He's still playing a quick game. He's experienced. Like, this is a tournament where I know they got caught in Turin with speed. They have got a big, strong, fast team here. So I think an experience of a Boyle, an experience of a Seabrook. I have Lucic, Ben making the team, or Giroux. I don't know which one of those three will make it, but I think the rest will be.
Do we get caught up too much in taking a whole team and not taking enough skill and scoring? Is there too much emphasis on that?
I think it's just a crapshoot. You just hope that
a bunch of players
can get together and find some cohesiveness. That's all.
But just saying, listen to the four group.
How do you know for sure?
Listen to this four group and tell me who's not offensive. Couture, Crosby, okay. Perry, Sharp, Taves, Nash, Kunitz, Getzlaf, St. Louis, Duchesne, Bergeron, Stamkos, Tavares.
But let me see your list. Kunitz is good with Crosby. Okay. So you're leaving somebody off.
Everybody's offensive there.
Who's your checking line? We know Bergeron.
Bergeron's
and
in.
And who?
Well, I mean, there's lots of guys that can check there.
But is there a Mike Richards there?
You know what? I had trouble not taking Richards. I really did.
I know.
Grape's going to talk about the World Junior Tournament again, and we will talk to you again 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific. as Canada names its roster for Sochi.